The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this special service of Christmas readings and music. Perhaps a more meditative service than the controlled mayhem that we had this morning with the gift service. But these opportunities are to be cherished when we can be quiet and reflect on the meaning of the season for us in our day and generation.
Our first reading is from Micah 5, verses 1 to 5.
Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labour gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
Our second reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Our third reading is the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now let us pray. God our Father, we ask that as we enjoy the quietness of this time, the loveliness of the music and the power of your word, that a new love for Jesus would be born within us, and that this would be our strength as we seek to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, it's quite normal at this time of the year that happy seasonal stories are published in the newspapers and told on television and radio. to buck us up in the midst of the doom and gloom of the ordinary news. One happy seasonal story that I often think about at this time of year concerned a girl that I was at school with. She returned after the Christmas holidays to tell us that on Christmas Eve at around 11:30, the doorbell rang, and when it was opened, there was her sister over from Canada. She hadn't been home for about 5 years, and here she was just appearing on the doorstep. Lovely surprises, tears, photographs. We saw the evidence for ourselves how happy the whole family were at that occasion. And there is a sense in which that whole theme of surprise is very powerful throughout our Christmas stories as we have them printed for us in God's Word. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were surprised when they were told in their advanced years that they were going to have this longed-for baby. Herod was certainly surprised when the wise men turned up and told him that the Messiah had been born somewhere within his territory. But surely the biggest surprise of all came to Mary when the angel appeared to her and told her that despite the fact that she was unmarried, that very soon she would bring forth a baby and that this baby would be the Son of God. A book was published some years ago called The God of Surprises. And surely in everything that we gather from the Christmas stories, we can see that we certainly worship a God who likes to surprise his people. He surprises us, first of all, in the way that he works. There's one principle which undergirds everything that we read about in the birth stories of Jesus. And it's at verse 37 of chapter 1 in Luke, where we read, "Nothing is impossible with God." The words of the angel Gabriel, "Nothing is impossible with God." That is at the very heart of the Christmas story. And it was also at the heart of Jesus' ministry itself when he grew to be a man. Because Jesus was the one who could take a few pieces of bread and fish and feed over 5,000 people. And Jesus was the one who could lay his hands upon the sick and heal them. And Jesus was the one who could call a dead man out of the tomb where he had lain for 3 days. All the way through Jesus' ministry, we are reminded that there is nothing impossible with God. And in this season, when we reflect on this, friends, it would be good for us to keep it in mind, this great principle. It would be good for us to keep it in mind in relation to people we know who perhaps have not come to a true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People perhaps that we've prayed for many years. People we've been tempted perhaps to write off. The Word of God comes to us and says there is nothing that is impossible with God. And perhaps we should also bring this principle to the surface when we're thinking about the church and how often the news about the church is depressing and disheartening. We should bring to mind this tremendous fact that there is nothing that is impossible with God. And we all know people in trouble. Sometimes their problems seem to be intractable. Who is going to help this person? How are they going to come through their difficulties? We need to remind ourselves that there is nothing that is impossible with God. That is the way he works, and it comes through very powerfully in the birth stories of Jesus. But we also need to remember that our God is a God of surprises. and the people that he chooses. We don't know very much about Mary, really, but at verse 27 of our reading, we're told that she was a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and her name was Mary. That's virtually all that we know about her. There are many legends, but if we're going by Scripture and if we're going by the truth, then this is all that we have to work on. And yet what we can say is that Mary didn't quite conform to the messianic script, because the people of Israel, when they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, he wasn't going to be born to a humble woman. The Messiah would be a king. He would emerge from a palace and extend his rule throughout the whole of the world. But what did God choose? Who did God choose to be the earthly mother of his son? He chose a young woman who at that particular point was unmarried. A young woman who would probably have to struggle to convince the man she was betrothed to that this was the Son of God that she was carrying. A young woman who would have to journey 85 miles from her home to Bethlehem. And we don't know that she rode a little donkey. The fact is, she probably walked in the very late stages of her pregnancy, and then give birth in very inauspicious circumstances. Whenever we think of the messes that people sometimes get themselves into, and perhaps we're tempted to look down our noses at these people who seem to make their lives so complicated, we should remember how God chose to come into this world and the people he chose to be his instruments. It's true that in the words of the Apostle Paul, when he was reminding the Corinthians of their humble origins, he said to them that not many of them were wise by the world's standards. And that's very true of most of the people that God chooses to do his will. It has been said that perhaps it's the humble of the earth who have more room for God in their lives. They don't expect the praise. They don't expect the accolades of the world. And so there's room room in their lives for God to work. It was once said of the politician Tony Benn that he was immune to people's status. And that is exactly what we can say about God. What he wants are people he can use. And very often it's the humble of the earth who have room in their lives for God to use. We worship a God of surprises. He works in the people he chooses and in what in the end he gave to the world. We listen to the radio and television, we read the papers, and what is it that the world says we need at this particular time? Well, some people say we need programs of social reform. Others are looking to produce political manifestos that will sort out all our problems. Individuals perhaps seek all kinds of therapy to sort out their own personal problems. These are the things that people seem to want nowadays. But when God looked at the needs of the world, he certainly wouldn't say that social reform was irrelevant or that political manifestos weren't needed. But most of all, what the world needed was a saviour. And so he gave his son, the one who is described by the angel in this way. To Mary he said, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. You see, friends, in the end, God hasn't given us a set of philosophical ideas. He hasn't given us a program of social reform to follow. What he has given us is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. And he calls upon us to place our faith in him as the only one who can make a difference to the depths of people's lives. The only one who can make a radical difference within the lives of individuals. And surely, in the end, that is what is needed more than anything else. We have this word in the Gospels which usually scares the living daylights out of people. It's the word repent. But the Greek word, metanoia, simply means a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of attitude. That is why Jesus came, to strike at the heart of our problems, to enable us to live close to God throughout our earthly lives, and to be certain of his presence in the life beyond. God didn't send a teacher. He didn't send a reformer. He didn't send a politician. He sent his Son to be our Saviour. And on him, everything depends. The God of surprises, in the way that he works, in the people he chooses, and in what, in the end, he gave to humankind. Let's pray that at this Christmas season, the God of surprises will work his ways. Now let's pray. God, our Father, we give thanks for everything that you have done for us in Jesus. And we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, at this Christmas season, you would be working in the minds and the hearts of men and women, those who come to the services, those who listen to the word. We pray that your Spirit would bring your truth to rest within them and to give them intimation of new birth. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.